Oscar Smith, March 21st, 1970.
I guess the first thing I wanted to ask you was if you can tell me something about your father. When did he start filming?
Now, let's see. My father...
The record, as far back as we got, is what I told you, 1910.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
1910 is when they started to build old folks down there.
Yeah. Now, where's down there? Down at the shop where you work?
Right down in the same building.
Yeah.
I'm in there now.
You said they. Is it your father and his brother?
There was two of them, and their name both was Frank Smith.
I see.
But there was no relation.
Yes.
One of the men passed away, let's see, in 1940.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and my father died in 1947.
Mm-hmm.
And he and I was, after the other fellow that was with my father died, I went in with my father. I bought the other fellow's barrow down, and I went in with him.
Yeah.
And my father died in 1947, and since that time, I have taken it over alone.
Yes.
And
yes.
I have built somewhere around 80 to 85 boats in that.
Since
in that,
that time, yes. Yes, since 1949.
Since 1947.
47, excuse me, yeah. Well, what kind of boats did they first build back in 1910?
Back them days, they were building them small 16-foot... Well, some of them was double-enders.
Yes.
And some of them was those... it was a fantail.
Yes.
Stern.
Like a steamboat.
Yeah. And they was anywhere from 18 to 22 feet long.
Yes, I see.
And
quite small.
Yes. And as the years went on, they kept increasing in length and in size.
Yes.
And they built a lot of 25-foot ones.
Uh-huh.
Then come along this torpedo stern.
Yes.
A round stern, which they called a wash boiler stern.
Mm-hmm.
And they built a number of those boats, a pile of them.
Yeah.
And people liked them. And when they changed from that style to this square cut-off stern, we call it, they had quite a job to get people to change from those wash boiler stones to these cut-off stones.
Why did they change it?
Well, it was the wash boiler stern was an awful hard stern to build.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had to bend those plank around the stern.
Yeah.
And it was a lot harder than one of these. Well, one of these kind, you can build the stern, every bit of it, right out in the floor, and pick it right up and put it on, it's all done.
Yes, that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
I heard about somebody who used to build those torpedo sterns vertical planked.
Yes, we had one boat builder that built them that way. Planked up and down.
Yeah. Was that easier than building them with a horizontal plank?
I think it was. They didn't have to steam and bend those plank around there.
Yes.
But of course they didn't look so good.
Yes. Yeah. No amount of sanding would disguise it, huh?
Yeah. They didn't look so good as they did to plank them right straight round.
Yes.
With the same as the plank the whole length of them.
Yes. That's interesting. The what about motors in those early boats? What did they have?
Down here, my father was a... he had the agency for what they called the Hartford. And that was a single cylinder engine.
Yes.
And they ranged from 3 to 7 horsepower.
Mm-hmm. Did they use those in those 16 to 18 foot boats?
Yes, they did. Way back at that time, that's what they used.
Yeah. Did they ever use more than one motor?
Very few. Very few boats had more than one motor in it.
Uh-huh. What was...
They built... they had a fashion here for a while of the of converting the Model T Ford engine over. And after a while that went out, and then the other engines come in, and nowadays they use mostly automobile engines with marine reverse gears, water-cooled manifolds.
Yes.
And things like that. That's what about they all use around here now.
Yes, yes. Was that after the Model T engines, can you remember the names of any of those engines that came in after those Model T conversions?
Well, mostly the Chevrolet.
Uh-huh.
The Chevrolet engine. They used Chevrolet and Buick was both the two common engines.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Used here.
Now, I've heard of the Red Wing Thoroughbred.
Yes, they used quite a few of those.
Uh-huh.
They was a regular marine engine.
Yes.
The Thoroughbred and the Red Wing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they used quite a few of those.
Were those before the Chevrolets?
Yes, they was before the Chevrolets and Buicks.
Yeah. Well, when did those Chevrolets come in terms of a date? 1925 or?
Oh, the Chevrolet engines, no. I don't think it's been back so far as that. I don't think, probably 30, 35.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, they were pretty powerful by then, weren't they?
Yes, they was.
Did that make a change in the boat's design?
No, that didn't change the design of the boats. They kept improving the models on the boats here from year to year.
Yeah.
Until they got them to where they are now, and this model that we have here now is a model that's been here for quite a few years.
Has it? Yeah. Since 1935?
Yes, I would say since 1935.
Yeah. Have they gotten a little wider since then?
Yes. Yes.
A bit.
Yes. A 30 or 32 foot boat used to be right around 8 foot wide.
Yes.
Now they're 10 and 11 foot.
Uh huh. What is the advantage?
Well, they get more working room in the boat.
Yeah.
On the same length of boat.
Mm-hmm.
If they didn't, they'd have to build a boat 38 to 40 feet long in order to get the working room.
Yes.
If they didn't put the width on them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Does it make them more stable?
Yes. Yes, I think they make a better sea boat.
Mm-hmm.
In every way.
Yes. It gives them enough bearing to handle the engines?
That is right.
Yes.
That is right.
How about going before a running sea? Or running before a sea?
They perform good.
Uh-huh.
On seas. In every way. These motor boats does.
Uh-huh.
They go right out in the winter, lobster fishing, just as they do in the summer here, with those boats.
Yeah, it makes me shiver to see them do it. Not a lot of courage.
The type of boats they got today, the way the windshields and the cabins and everything is built on them, that they get a certain amount of heat from the motor.
Yes.
They use that. The most of them uses that hot manifold.
Mm-hmm.
That regular manifold that comes on the car engine, and that produces heat enough.
I see.
In that small space, so that they can go out.
Keeps them pretty
cold day.
Yeah, keeps them pretty warm.
Yeah.
As long as their engine's running. Huh?
That is right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's see. How much did a boat cost to build when you first started building with your father? What, 19?
Well, when I first started to work with my father, it was in 1944, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We built a 28-foot boat, the first one that he and I built together. I think it was $800.
That's the hull itself without the engine?
The hull without the engine was somewhere around $800.
Yeah, yeah. My, things have changed.
Today, that 28-foot boat would be at least $3,000.
Yes. Now that's the hull. That doesn't include the cabin and the
yes,
shelter.
Yes, that includes the cabin.
It does.
Yeah.
My.
But not any marine hardware.
Yes. Now, does that include the stuffing box and the rudder and the...
No.
None of that at all. I see. So all of that is an extra cost.
That is right.
Yeah. How much would it cost if you put in a 200 horsepower engine and a pot hauler and your shaft or propeller?
Well, those boats probably would run into everything in them like that.
Yeah.
$8,000-$10,000.
$8,000-$10,000. It's quite a bit of money indeed.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are pot haulers. They cost anywhere from $500 to $800.
Yes.
And all marine hardware is awfully high.
Yes.
Expensive.
Bronze and...
Yeah, you take an inch and a quarter four-hole stuffing box.
Mm-hmm.
But on $40.
My. Yeah.
Propeller wheel was probably an 18 or 20 inch diameter.
Mm-hmm.
But around $80 or $85.
Oh my. Yeah.
The shaft, the propeller shaft, an inch and a quarter or an inch and 3/8 is anywhere from $85 to $100.
That's in bronze?
Yeah.
Yeah. Marnell
is more than that.
Yes. How expensive are fastenings, say Everdor screws?
Sure. The Everdor nails that I'm using,
yes,
is somewhere around $2.80 or $0.85 a pound.
Yes.
And the screws, of course, they go with the piece, and I never have used any of those, but I think that Bert Frost told me that them screws was either 5 or 7 cents a piece.
My word. Gee. Number 10 or so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably a 2-inch screw.
Yes. Quite a bit of money. How many pounds of nails have you used in this hull you built this winter?
The planking nails is 35 pounds.
Uh-huh. My. Do you use nails anyplace else?
Well, I don't use the Everdor anywhere else.
Uh-huh. I see.
The rest of the place is putting the deck in and different things like that, I use a round galvanized net.
Yes, yes. Let's see. How is the keel fastened together?
The keel is fastened together with screw bolts.
Mm-hmm.
And drift bolts.
Yes. So the drift bolts have a loosable nut on the top of them.
They have a washer.
A washer. Yeah.
Kind of clinch washer.
Uh-huh. You mentioned to me, you showed me down there, how you made the shaft log out of two pieces.
Yes.
Did they always do that?
No, they used to years ago when my father was there, when the shaft logs were shorter.
Uh-huh.
They used to bore them. I have the augers right down there now to bore them with.
Uh-huh.
And when they got so we had to use some shaft logs anywhere from 6 to 7 feet long,
mm-hmm.
Of course that made it impossible. You'd bore from each end and meet in the center.
Yes.
Well, you did, in order to run a shaft in there, unless you had a terrible big hole,
mm-hmm.
you'd have to meet perfect,
yes.
which you couldn't do.
That's right.
It'd be impossible.
Quite difficult.
And that's where we have to make the log out.
Uh-huh. Two pieces and fit it together.
And then split it right in two.
Yeah.
And therefore you can take it on your circle saw and you can almost cut that hole right out.
Right out, yeah.
The whole length.
With a dado or?
Yeah, well, you take a circle saw,
yes.
and keep sawing in, shifting your saw over.
Yes.
And
yeah.
you can almost saw that right out, a round hole.
Hmm.
A half on each.
Yes.
Each part. Then you take it on the bench and take a gouge and dig out what is left in there.
Yes.
Then bolt it together. Put a thread of cotton in the seam.
Mm-hmm.
Bolt it together, then run an auger through it.
Uh-huh.
And that cleans everything.
Yes.
Cleans it out.
Cleans it right out round, yes. Very good. What, are the augers that you used for boring through, are they of a special kind?
Yes. They don't have any worm on them.
I see. What's the advantage in that?
That worm follows the grain.
I see. So in order to keep it from veering off...
Yeah. If you're going to bore a hole with that, you have to start it with a nugget first with a worm on it and bore in probably an inch.
Yes.
To start.
Get yourself started, yeah. Yeah. Do you set up the auger in any kind of jig?
Yes. You set it up into bearings.
Uh-huh.
And use a power drill on it.
I see. So she goes quite straight.
Yeah.
If you'd continue to do that.
Yeah. If you're very careful and line it up, you'll come out fairly good. But
yeah. It must
sometimes, be. Sometimes if there's a knot in there, it's a little bit harder on one side than it is the other.
Yes.
It'll shear that auger just enough so that you won't meet perfect in the summer.
Yes. Yes. All right. Well, certainly that split shaft lug seems to be a good idea.
Yeah.
Are there other improvements in building techniques like that which you've developed over the years?
No, I don't think so.
What about, I understand they used to make a molded stem, three-piece stem.
Yeah, that's what this is in this boat.
Well, I don't mean molded, I mean a laminated stem.
Laminated, yeah.
Laminated.
Yeah, my father used to... steam and bend.
Yes.
The inside stem.
Mm-hmm.
And when the boat was planked, then they bent three pieces on over that.
Over that, on the outside.
On the outside, but over the wood ends of the plank.
Yes.
And then taper it off the shape of the stem.
Yes. Did they essentially build a rabbit that way?
No, that wasn't rabbit. Since these ones is now the reason.
I see. Huh. In other words, the inside stem was beveled, right?
Beveled, tapered.
Yes, yeah. Tapered. Right to a point?
Well, it would be perhaps 3 inches through it.
Yes.
And it would be a half an inch on the outside, and perhaps be 3 inches or 3.5 on the inside.
Yes, I see. So your plank would face right on there. The
plank would lay right on the side of it.
Yes, and they'd make a face which was about 1.5 inches wide.
Yeah.
And then they'd put a piece outside of that,
yeah,
which was also tapered,
yeah,
toward the bow.
Yeah.
And was it pointed or still flat?
That was pointed.
That was pointed.
Yeah, that was pared right off.
Good.
The shape of the...
Well, where did the third piece come from? Or where did it go, that is?
One on over the other. Of the outside stem.
I see.
You see... That would have to be built up about 3 inches. Well, you couldn't bend a 3-inch piece on there.
I
much
see.
Of a bend.
Yes. So one piece was sort of trapezoid in its cross section, and the other one was triangle in top section,
yes,
and went onto it.
Yeah.
How did they fasten them together?
Well, they put a screw bolt right through.
Uh huh.
Right straight through the outside stem, right up the inside one.
I see. Well, it looks to me now like it, in the sense they sort of built a rabbit. Because they had a piece on the inside, and the planks came right in on that, and then they put a piece on the outside which covered over the butt ends of your plank.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. And they couldn't spring out.
No.
Yeah.
Well, these ones here is molded,
mm-hmm,
put together, and rabbited the whole length of the plank to fit right into it.
Yes, it has to be a cut rabbit.
Yeah.
Why do they use a three-piece stem? Why do they make it out of make a one-piece stem and join it right to the keel?
When they bend them, you mean?
No, when they make them now, the molded ones.
Like you can't get a piece wide enough to.
That'll have that curve.
To make that turn.
Yes. Good.
Yeah, to make the top and bottom, and then the where they join together is what we call a knacker stock piece.
Yes.
And then the screw bolted right together.
Uh huh. Very good.
And that anchor stock piece is about 3 feet long.
Mm-hmm.
It shows on the outside just a little short...
triangle, yes.
Piece there, if you noticed it.
I have, yes.
Yeah, well, that's
yes.
Where the plank went across it. But that goes a foot and a half or 2 feet each way up on the stem.
Yes. The reason I'm interested in this is because in Mount Desert, they build a two-piece stem.
Yeah.
You're aware of that, are you?
Yes.
Yes. How can they do it?
Well, Probably it's just the same as they do in Nova Scotia.
Uh-huh.
They, the stems is right plumb up and down. They ain't no angle or...
They're just curve.
They're just a straight piece.
Yes, I see. And then they make a sharp curve.
Yeah. They just make a little turn down where they're going to keel.
Yes, I see. So they can just do it with one piece.
They can just do it with one piece.
Put a knee in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or a stopping block.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that makes sense. Does it tend to leak around the joints of the stem? Does a boat tend to leak water?
No.
At that point?
No. The old-fashioned ones that we were just speaking about that was bent.
Mm-hmm.
Before that outside stem was put on, that had to be caulked through the ends on each side before the outside stem was put on.
Yes, I see.
But these ones here has got a seam that goes right up round, and we caulk it.
I see.
It's caulked right up round, and the seams is filled.
Yes.
With white lead putty.
Uh-huh. So there's no problem at all.
There's no problem at all. We don't seem to get no leaks.
Yes. Well, one striking characteristic of the boats built here is the deadwood skeg. The whole thing is deadwood.
Yeah.
Does that have any advantages?
No. There's sometimes they build what they call the hollow keel here. I have
a
number of times if somebody calls for it.
Yeah.
But, of course, it costs more to build one of those boats.
Yes. Well, there's an advantage for this.
There's a lot more work in them.
Yes.
And these, what we call a deadwood, are built on the skeg, same as one, not the shopper.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to build, and, well, I guess they're just about as good.
Yes.
There's one advantage with the one that has got the hollow keel, or plank down, whichever you may call it.
Yeah.
If there's any water in them, it's down aft.
Yes.
Down in that V place.
Yes.
Where these ones is, like the one that I have down in the shop there now,
yes.
If there's any water, it's all right on the middle of them, right in the middle of the boat, right under the engine.
Yes. And right under the floorboards, too, I suppose.
Yeah.
Very good. Do loftsmen around here want a watertight cockpit?
Yes.
They
do.
A lot
of them has it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Has this influenced the shape of the boat any?
No.
Hasn't.
No. We,
go ahead.
About all the boats that we've built now has a watertight pour.
Uh-huh.
Not a watertight cockpit, but a watertight pour.
I see. There's a difference,
About 4 inches. Just takes care of what rainwater comes in.
Uh-huh.
With scuppers out to the stern.
Yes. So it's above the water line.
Yes. It's above the water line.
Yeah. How is the freeboard on the boats today? Are they any higher than before?
I think they are a little higher than they used to be when they used to have to reach out overboard and haul those traps in over by hand.
Yes.
They used to build them quite low.
Uh-huh.
But nowadays they use these hoisters and they hoist them right up and they don't have to reach overboard.
Yes. Very good. Well, let's see, where am I at? Well, I guess it's been in your lifetime since they started the lobster boat racing, hasn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, that's only been just a very few years they started those.
Only about 10 years?
That's all.
Yes.
Not anymore.
Has this caused the fishermen to demand any change in the boat design? In small degrees, or?
Well, yes, some of them likes to have them go just as fast as they will, and they design them for speed.
Yes.
Of course, when you do that, you've got to lighten up on every bit of the material that you put into them.
Yes.
Because you take like the one that I'm building now, she's heavy constructed.
Yes.
And when you put the weight in them, of course you kill the speed.
Sure, sure.
But you haven't got such a good boat, such a good working boat, in a boat that will last long when they build it for speed like that, as you have to build on these.
Yes, yes. Are there many boats that are built light like that in the harbor
now?
Not
too many. Not too many. But most of them is quite heavy construction.
Yes, yes. That makes sense.
Yeah.
The man, it's nice to win a race, but it's better to save your life in a...
I think I build these boats down here a little bit. I think the stern, the frame of the stern and the stem both,
mm-hmm.
you'll find, is a lot heavier than all the rest of the shops.
Yes.
I've been round to the other shops and, and I see that they lighten up on that two things a lot more than what I do.
Yes, yes. I notice you you do not split your frames down. Is there any reason for that?
Yes, they rot quicker.
I see. Water gets in.
Yes. I remember back quite a few years ago when my father and I was working. We hauled two boats into shop to be retimbered.
My.
They were the same age, built the same year. Frost built one of the boats and we built the other. The one that Frost built didn't have no... the ribs wasn't split. The ones we built were split down by that sharp turn of the bilge.
Yes.
Well, the one that Frost built didn't need timbering, but that one that we built, every timber was rotted right off.
I'll be darned. Hmm.
Just on account of that being split.
Yes.
Since that time, we never have split one.
Yes. Well, that's a...
them right in whole.
Yes, that's a piece of experience.
And as a rule, they go in there pretty good. We hardly ever break one. If we do, we take it right out.
Yes.
Yeah. Throw it away.
And you've got a good steam boiler there.
Yes. Yes.
That's an advantage.
Yes, I bought that boiler, just 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I paid $600 for it.
My. Quite a device.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Good.
Yeah.
Do you ever put linseed oil on the ribs before you steam them?
I never had to.
They'll bend anyway.
Yes, they bend in there so good that I never have to oil them.
Yes, yes.
But some of them does.
Yeah. Oiling makes them bend easier, is that the idea?
That seems to help.
Yes.
I think it does.
Mm-hmm. Where do you get your wood?
Well, we buy the oak and cedar here in Columbia Falls, the Pinio's mill.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we get all of our oak and cedar.
Good. How does he saw the lumber? Is it regular board sawed?
No, it's what we call live sawed.
Live
sawed. For bolts. It's just sided. The bark on the edges is still there.
Yes.
And you get such a waste if they sawed it off, they sided it off.
Yes, I see. So it gives you a little more leeway on one end, perhaps,
yes,
that you might need, or...
A lot of your lumber, when it goes into a boat, isn't the same width on each end.
Yes.
A lot of it is tapering, and you gain a lot by just having it sawed, what we call live sawed.
Yes, yes. I suppose it's a lot less expensive, too.
Yes, yes, it is.
That's good.
Yeah.
Do you have any... particular choice in wood for ribs is
oak.
Red oak
all
or?
Together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you have that sawn in any special way since you have to bend it so much?
No. No, sometimes I buy them all sawed out up to the mill, and sometimes I buy it in the rough lumber and saw them out myself.
Yes, I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
And the rib that we put in there is finished up 1 inch by 2.5.
Yes. Good. How is the? Is it best to have perfectly straight grain?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't. You have to pick them out before you put them in the steam box and get the straight grain ones you can get, because you take it down out there and there's quite a sharp turn there.
Yes.
Of course, as you go for it, that keeps easing up.
Yes, yes. So the best grain should go aft, then?
That's right.
Yeah.
Pick out the best timbers and put them down there first.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
And we steam them about, well, the first steaming about an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there forward, why, an hour.
Will do.
We'll do it.
I see. What do you have any idea what the temperature is? Or is that important?
No, I don't.
Is it pressure or heat that makes
the
difference?
It's the heat, the hot water.
Yeah.
A piece of wood put into hot water will bend just as good as will as put it into a steam box.
Hmm.
If you have your steam pressure too high, you get a dry steam. They don't bend too good.
I see, yes.
You take 15-20 pound pressure on your boiler,
mm-hmm.
and that gives you a good wet steam, and that seems to make them bend the best.
Yes. How much can you bend, say, an inch by 2.5 timber in your hands? Can you bend it very easily in your hands?
Well, you can take it down the floor, put your foot on it, and
come up with it.
But what I do, I take them out of the box, pass them into whoever's on the inside of the boat. They put them in place and put their foot on them, jam them right down into place.
Yes, just like that.
Yeah. I'm on the outside with the clamps, screwing the clamps on it.
Do you start at the bottom of the clamp, go up?
Yep.
Yep.
Right round the turn of the bins there, where they have all in the harness, is where you have to put the clamps.
Yes. How many clamps do you put on each timber?
There's about three.
Uh-huh.
On an average, about three clamps to a timber.
How long do you have to leave the clamp on the timber?
Very few minutes. They'll cool awful quick.
Yes.
But before we take the clamps off, we go over them and even the timbers up.
Uh-huh.
And nail through the bearings into the timbers to hold them in place and take the clamps off.
Yes. Very good. So they don't get out of plumb.
They don't get out.
Yeah. No. Do you set your keel up plumb to your baseline?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
You set the keel up.
That's the top of the keel.
Yeah, and straighten it.
Yes.
Put a line on it. Straighten it, brace it off.
Mm-hmm.
Before. And then, well, the first thing we do, we put the stem on.
Yes.
Before we set the keel up.
That's right.
So, because uh-huh. it has to lay down on its side. And get that all fastened off, good shape. Then we set it up and straighten it and plumb the stem.
Yes.
Then we put the stern, or transom, whichever you call it,
yeah.
on. And plumb that up, level it, stay it off.
Yes.
And then the molds goes on next.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's battened off about, well, 8 or 10 inches apart, right from the keel, right straight up round.
Yes. Now, do you bend them like plank, or you just put them on the way they flat bend flat?
Well, they bend flat right on. Yes, we go somewhere near the way the plank goes.
Yes, makes it easier, I suppose.
Makes it easier. It makes it look better on the start.
Yes.
And it would to have dropped down on each end or up too high or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, yes. Where do you start the planking?
I start my planking with a top streak. And I plank about 5 streaks of plank down from the top. Then I turn the boat right down on her side,
mm-hmm.
even her up, so she don't go to shape.
Mm-hmm.
And I start from the keel and plank back. I get out the plank for the other side.
Uh-huh.
And number them.
Yes.
Lay them out one side till I get that side all planked.
Mm-hmm.
Then I flip her back on the other side and even her up same as I did before.
Yes.
And start from the keel and well, the plank is all out. All I have to do is just age them and
mm-hmm.
bevel them wherever they need it to
yes.
fit them.
Yeah. So two planks will be matched. Will you saw them at the same time?
Two planks?
Yes.
Yeah, we saw one by the other.
Uh-huh. Very good.
Mark out one plank by the other one.
Yes.
And number it.
Yeah.
officials. They wrote on it what it belonged.
Amazing. So they're matched all the way up.
That is right.
Very good. When do you put on your shear clamp and bill stringer?
The bill stringer?
Yeah.
That's a piece that goes on the inside?
Yes, at the turn of the bilge.
That's after she's all planted.
I see. Do you use a shear clamp?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, after it's all planked?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
That shear plank goes up to the top.
Yes.
And if you notice, you were speaking there the other day, that plank wasn't fastened on.
Yes.
A mark went over the top of that plank, so tell where it goes.
Yes.
Take the plank off and put them shear clamps in there.
Yes.
Bolt them in. And then I go put the top plank back
on. Back on again. It covers all up.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you make the bill stringer and the shear clamp out of?
Oak.
Oak also.
Yeah. That's about two by 4 inches.
Very good. Strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that the only way the boat is held together longitudinally?
Yes.
Pretty much.
Of course, there's deck beams goes across about 6 feet from the bow.
Yes.
And a lot of them has a stern deck anywhere from 3 to 4 feet long. And the rest of them is wide open.
Yes.
The rest of the boat is wide open. And that shear clamp seems to hold them.
Yes. Seems to be enough.
Yeah. And
very good.
The washboard is labored on top of that shear plank. That shear clamp.
Yes. Let me think. The washboards are...
The wash rails are...
Excuse me. Yeah. I got it now. It took me a minute to think of it. How do you finish off, after you've decked the, done your deck all around, how do you finish off the rail?
The rail?
Yes. Do you put on a chafing rail or what?
On the outside?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, there's a chafing rail goes around on the outside, and there's one about inch square goes on top of the wash rail right around the side.
That's sort of a tow grip type thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, keep them going overboard.
Yeah. That's water scuppers put in them. If any water gets on the deck, to run out.
Yes. And do you have any, do you put chafing gear down on the turn of the bilge, on the stern?
Yes, there's a guard put along right on the turn of that bilge on each side.
Mm-hmm. How do you finish off the stem head?
Well, I saw that stem off about 4 inches long. Then I scooped the side of it out on each side, so it makes it about 3/4 inch on top.
Yes, in the middle.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
In the center of it.
Do people have different preferences on that?
Yes, some of them leave that stem head right off square.
Uh-huh.
And just draw it off. Trim it up a little.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes they saw them right off flush with the deck.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they can buy those stem heads and fasten on there. And some of them don't have any.
Yes, yes. So I suppose that's an area of personal preference of the owner.
That is right.
Yeah. Do they tend to differ very much here locally?
They're about all the same.
Uh-huh.
The boats over on the island and here, they're about all the same models.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't too much difference.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Where we are. Do you ever have a man come in who wants to change your model or ask you to build a boat with a different model?
Never in the world.
Never?
No.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember anybody ever come and ask to have a model changed.
Uh-huh. You figure the model then is pretty good model.
Yes.
Well liked.
Yeah. Everybody seemed to like it.
Mm-hmm. Was this the same when your father was building?
It was the same thing, yeah.
Yeah.
They haven't changed any since he was here.
Uh-huh.
They've been both the same for the last 20, 25 years.
Yeah. Perhaps I should ask a lobsterman this, but I was wondering, why do you think a lobsterman will choose one builder over another?
Well, I don't know. Some of them may feel, well, perhaps this fellow here builds a better boat, a stronger boat, and somebody else thinks somebody else does.
Yes. Is there a difference, say, in the shear line you build into yours?
Yes.
I see.
Yeah.
Do you think they might be influenced by that?
That could be one of the things, yes.
Yes. And there might be other things, like perhaps one has a faster run?
Yeah, around here they're quite fussy about the boat. They want just as good a nice-looking boat for a lobster boat as you or I would want for a yacht.
Yes, I can imagine.
And another thing, speed is what they want. Especially the people over on the island. They're great over there for speed.
That's interesting. I wonder why.
Well, they brought here... have these races for your life. Somebody gets beat, the next day they take that engine right out and go somewhere and get a bigger one with more power.
My. Yeah.
They're great people for speed.
They really seem to be, don't they?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you go down to Mount Desert and they put 125 horsepower in an engine or in a boat, or maybe 150.
Yeah.
Never see 250, 300.
No. Here, there's 400-500 horsepower.
My.
They're putting in a lot of these these biggest automobile engines.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're somewhere around between 300 and 400 horsepower.
Yeah, that's quite some engine.
Yeah.
Down near a racing engine.
Then they put these hydraulic reverse gears on them.
Uh-huh.
2-to-1 reductions.
Yeah. Do they put a large propeller on them?
Yes. Yeah, they put a large wheel on them, about a 20 diameter, perhaps 18 to 20 inch pitch.
Mm-hmm. Pretty powerful.
Yeah. Of course, I always figured that you take one of these light boats, that them reductions, as far as speed was concerned, you didn't get... I don't think you'll get the speed. They get the speed they think they do.
I see.
Because you get your speed from the revolutions.
Mm-hmm.
Now you take your 2-to-1 reduction, your wheel is turning just half as fast as your motor.
Yes.
Well, you take a straight drive, and that's turning the same speed your motor is.
Yes. And thus, I guess it really kind of takes an engineer to figure that all out.
Yes, it does.
Must be quite difficult.
You take a reduction with a big wheel, you get less slippage.
I see.
You don't get so much slippage as you do with a smaller wheel and a straight drive.
Yes.
I guess
it's sort of a gamble in there.
Yeah, that's right.
Somewhere.
Of course, you take your reduction, you get a lot of power from it if you're going to tow anything or anything like that.
Yeah.
More so than you would
a
small wheel.
Yes, I can see. So a tugboat would probably have quite some reduction.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Has there been anyone trying to sell fiberglass boats?
There is one fiberglass boat in town that I know of.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what the trouble is and whether it's the price or what, but they don't seem to go too good here.
They don't. Uh-huh.
Now, they're building them right up here in, where's it, Gould Grove, Sullivan? Or
yeah.
Up in that section there somewhere.
Uh-huh.
But these Smith boys up here, Leon Smith, one of them boys got one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only one there is here that I know anything about.
Uh-huh. Well, that should be interesting. Down in Mount Desert, the local boat, there's a fiberglass boat being sold by Down East Boats in Blue Hill.
Yeah.
And the local fishermen don't seem to like the model.
They don't.
No. It's really not a lobster boat model. It's a Navy jig type model, and it just isn't the design they want at all. So I don't know how expensive they are either. It's another thing entirely.
Those fiberglass is more expensive than the wooden boats.
Uh-huh. They are. How much more, do you know?
They're third.
Third more.
I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I suppose nobody's tried these ferro cement
No. Nobody
around
here has.
No. I don't like the idea. They don't seem to come out fair balanced, the same,
yeah,
both sides,
yeah,
which is a bother. I think they've got a long way to go before they figure that one out.
I think so.
Yeah. That's good. Well, let's see. And let me ask you, do you know if there are any models existing of your father's or your boats? Any of the designer's models, the Hafron models?
No. The old ones we've done away with. I've got just two down there now, the ones that I used to build off of.
Uh-huh.
No, I don't.
So you have them?
There has been some of them old models down there, but they laid around there so long and used them up for something.
Disposed
of them.
Yes. That's very good. It's kind of difficult to find exactly what the old boats were like.
Yes, that is right.
You know, people remember,
yeah,
and there are photographs sometimes, but the old models are pretty scarce.
Yes, sir, that is right.
I suppose sometimes the antique people come through and buy them up, too.
Yes, probably they do.
One possibility.
Yeah.
Well, it's possible to take the lines off of an old boat, but it's quite an operation. It has to be out of water and...
Yes, right.
And takes a full day, and it's a pretty difficult technique. I've never done it. I know how it should be done,
yeah,
but I can see myself out there.
Yes, sir. Good job.
Yes, the old thoroughbred is over over there, and that I may try and do that.
The thoroughbred still on the island?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, she's in. Well, she's held her shape.
Isn't she got a round stone on her?
Yes, she does.
Yeah.
Planked horizontally.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's only 6 feet wide.
That's all.
Yeah. Amazing. She was struck by an automobile. She's right close to the road there.
That's right.
Somebody got tanked up and ran into her.
Yeah.
And the only thing they did is they demolished that mold, that laminated stem.
Yeah.
But she still looks pretty good shape, yes, except for that stem being all gone.
That boat is quite old.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some lengthy time.
Will forced.
Uh-huh.
Will forced by the boat, that boat.
Right. Some years ago.
Yeah.
I heard that... that there may have been one of your father's boats ashore around here somewhere.
One of them ashore?
Yes, or someone said out on the point. Now, I don't know which point, Kelly Point or what?
What do you mean, went ashore on the rocks?
No, I mean one that's been hauled ashore to die.
One hauled up?
Yeah.
Probably down around Kelly's Point somewhere.
Somewhere down there, yeah. I'll see if I can find it.
Yeah.
It would be interesting.
That's probably quite an old boat.
Yes. Yes, I suppose. Just as you turn onto the Kelly Point Road, there's a little yellow launch there.
Yeah.
Was that a lobster boat, or?
I think that was.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
It looks quite different, doesn't it?
Yes.
No flare at all on the bow.
No, it's just an old.
Yeah.
An old thing. God only knows why she was built.
Yes, heaven.
Yeah.
I suppose maybe the people down there might know who owned her, at least. You know.
Well, there was a Nellie boy down there, but he died. I don't know who owns the boat now.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Quite something.
I imagine probably somebody down around there owns it.
Mm-hmm. Going back early again, can you remember who the builders were when your father started out building in 1910?
Yes. Morris Dow.
Morris Dow. Uh-huh.
Alton Rogers.
Uh-huh.
And then there was one on Beale's Island years ago at that time. I'm trying to think of his name.
George Brown.
George Brown.
Uh-huh. Wasn't he drowned?
Yes, he was, right off this old
steamboat
here now.
Huh. Did he fall off, or?
Well, I guess.
Walked off.
Huh.
Walked off.
Yes, either that, or he was hit with a truck or something. He come over here, that's long before the bridge was put there.
Yes.
And he went up country somewhere about buying lumber or something, and he was a drinking man,
uh-huh,
drunk most of the time.
Oh, dear.
And this truck that took him up there landed him on the steamboat here. We don't know when that truck back and turned around, whether it hit him and knocked him off, or whether he
just
walked
it off, they said, at the time of it.
What'd you say, is
it? At the time that they said he just walked right off at the end of the war.
That's what they said, he just walked.
Yeah, that catches up with you, I'd
say.
Yes,
sir.
It does indeed.
Yeah.
Well, now, you say Rogers and, was here in Jonesport?
Yes, sir, A.B. Rogers.
Uh-huh. And the other fellow was
Morris Dowd.
Morris Dowd, D-O-W-D.
D-O-W.
D-O-W. Uh huh. I see.
I think that's the way he spelled.
And he was in Jonesport too.
Yeah. He had a shop first over in Colonel's Bluff.
Yes.
And he moved it across to Keller's Point.
Yes. Were people living on Roke's Bluff then?
Yeah.
Let's see. Now there's Roke's Bluff is on the mainland.
Yep.
Near the island, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yes, I see.
Across from the mainland.
Were these men all building about the same type of boat?
Yes, they were at that time.
Those small double-enders?
And small, 18 to 22 feet.
Uh-huh. Had they been building any kind of boats previous to power lobster boats?
I don't think they ever built anything different than a power boat.
Yes. They never built sloops or anything like that?
No.
Yeah.
No. Oh, years ago, this fellow that was with my father, that Frank Smith, his name was, up here in Indian River, built one or two sailboats up there before he came down here.
So, probably sloops were they, or maybe pinkies?
They were sloops.
Sail
all together.
Yes. I guess, I wonder where they got the idea of the double ender for a powerboat.
To drive easier.
Yes, I see.
They don't have that that stern to drag.
Yes. And they knew this already.
Yeah.
I suppose. Very good. Those double ender, they used to have the so-called New England boat. Double ended, sort of a peapod sailboat.
Yeah.
Which, do you ever remember those?
Yes, I've seen them.
Yeah? Were they in use around here?
Oh, they was years ago.
Yes. How about seine boats? Were they in common use here?
Yes, years ago. They was in use. A lot of that stuff has gone out.
Sure.
In the last few years.
Yes. Of course, the sardines are gone. And
yes.
And everything, power is so easy to get now.
The sardine factories is all gone out of town here.
Yeah.
No, there isn't. There's one.
Oh, that small one.
Charlie Stevens.
Yes.
Yeah. The big ones has gone out.
What, Underwood and?
Underwood and, they called that the middle factory down there. That was owned by much higher people, I think.
Yes, yeah. Well, things certainly have changed.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, let's see. How are you holding up?
Good.
Yeah, you seem to be doing well. I'm beginning to run out of questions. Trying to think, is there anything that you consider an important part of the history of boat building around here that I haven't asked about?
I guess I've given you about all I can think of.
Yeah. Here's something I've never asked before. Is there any preference for what color you paint a boat?
No. No, around here they most generally paint them white.
Yes. I've seen some.
Once in a while they change one, paint it a different color, but not very often.
Yeah. I've seen them green. And
yeah.
And once in a while the blue.
Yes. Blue. A black one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There used to be a superstition that if you painted a boat blue, it was unlucky.
Yeah.
I can remember that.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yes, sir.
Was that the old sailboat men or that believe that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They used to have some of these big seine boats or something. They used to call them pinkies.
Yes, yes, carryway boats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Double ender with a rudder hanging out over the stern and a great big tiller up there that they steered them with.
Yeah, and a big bluff apple bow on it.
That's right.
Are they sloop or schooner rigged?
They're schooner rigged, I guess.
Schooner rigged, Were these the ones, the men who sailed those, were they the superstitious ones?
Yeah, I think they was.
Were they? What did they do?
What's that?
What did they think was bad luck?
Oh, I guess everything that they could think of.
Did they ever let a woman aboard boat?
Have what?
Did they ever let a woman aboard boat?
Oh, yes.
Oh, well.
Yes, these sailing vessels used to carry women.
Yes.
Cooks and everything aboard them.
Mm-hmm. Hen ships.
Yeah.
Yeah. My grandfather was a coaster captain.
He was?
Out of Calais.
Yeah.
And he'd carry lumber to Rockland, to the lime kilns. He'd go to Boston with general cargo.
Yeah.
But he left his wife and family at home on Mount Desert.
Yes.
He had a dairy farm there, a saltwater farm, and he'd appear periodically and then disappear again when things got too hot for him, I guess.
Yeah.
No. He was a good fellow. I barely remember him.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Was there ever any shipbuilding in Jonesport?
Yes.
How recently?
Oh, it's been a good many years.
Yes.
Before I can remember.
Yes. Before lobster boats and...
Sawyer's Cove down here. Built, God knows how many.
Hmm.
Grandfather used to work down
yes,
there on the...
Yes, my grandfather used to...
On the...
Work on them.
Vessels.
Uh-huh. He was a real broad axe man.
Oh. Is that his broad axe you have?
No, that... I don't know where that one come from. My father, the other fellow, got that somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But them ships all, they used to go into woods.
Yes.
In the winter time, they take the blueprints with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd cut the frame, and he would side it, shape it, all it out.
All out there in the woods?
All ready to assemble when they start in the spring on the
boat. Right. They had to bevel them too, didn't they?
Yes,
everything.
Sir.
The whole business.
Yeah.
Well, they had better woods than we do.
Oh, yes.
In those days.
There was some timber around them days. They could go into the woods and they could... They'd cut a whole frame in a very short order.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Well, they'd have quite a job to do it today.
Yes, I'm sure of it.
Because everything seems to be cut off.
Yeah, yeah. I remember where I lived at the head of the sound on Mount Desert. Used to be a big oak stand there.
Yeah.
And there's only about five of them left. The man who owns and protects them. But it used to be a large stand there, and they used to cut them.
Yeah.
There's another over at Somersville. There's a place called Oak Hill.
Yeah.
And that used to have one of those huge stands of big mature oak there. But most of it's gone. In fact, I think almost all of it. I don't remember seeing one now. But they built ships in there.
Look, what become of Philip Lord?
Philip Lord?
Yeah.
He used to own Bartlett's Island, right? He owned Bartlett's Island?
Yes, he did.
I don't know. Last I knew, he was alive and well. He sold Bartlett's Island.
He sold it?
Yeah, I believe he sold it. This was... See, I've been away since I went to college. I went to school, graduated from high school in 1958.
Yeah.
And I went away to up to Orono, and then I've been away in the Peace Corps, and then in Indiana.
Yeah.
For the past, well, all those two together makes 5 years, so things have happened I don't know about. But I think that while I was going to Maine, I think he sold his island off there.
Mm-hmm. Well, he had a boat shop and built a boat there in Somersville.
Ah.
For a while.
Huh. Let me think, where would that have been?
He tried to get me in with him there.
Uh-huh.
He fixed up a contract for me. Want me to take it and build a boat for him, right?
Preferred where you were, huh? What kind of boats did he want to build?
Oh, there was regular pleasure.
Yes.
Crafts.
Uh-huh. Yacht type.
Oh, he had everything fixed right up in that contract for himself.
Uh-huh. Well, I guess
it
that's
didn't work.
One of the ways he got where he got, I suppose.
Well, he had a broadcasting outfit here years ago.
Yeah.
And he sold that for $1 million.
Oh. That's a help, isn't it?
Oh,
he sold that for
get up in the morning with $1 million in your pocket,
yeah.
That's a start.
He took Jonesport.
Uh-huh.
For his... What he broadcast about. Of course, he picked out all the different characters
yes.
that there would be in any town.
Sure.
And took them for examples.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people didn't like it because they figured that, oh, it was kind of making fun of the town and the people who was in it. And of course, a lot of people figured that it was all right. So.
Well, made publicity one way or the other.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is right.
Well, you've worked as a boat builder all your life, pretty much, then, haven't you?
Yes. My my first work, I used to do housework, house gardening. And then I went from there into boat shop.
Did it require...
I worked for my father and the other fella for a few years until the other fella died. And then my father, he wanted somebody to help him in the shop. He was kind of getting old and he didn't want everybody in there, so I bought that man's share of the place out down there and went down there and went with him.
Yes. Yeah.
Very good. Then he and I worked there together and until he gave up.
Well, now it seems to me that you're continuing on with your work even though you've sort of officially retired.
That is right.
Is there great satisfaction in it for you?
Yes, it is. Yeah. I would, if it wasn't for just one thing, I'd give it right up entirely because I'm really not able to do it. I have all troubles. I got that emphysema.
Yes.
I got ulcers. Had for 40 years.
Oh, dear.
And I'm kind of down now a good part of the time.
Yeah.
But if I didn't have something to look to.
Yeah.
To do, I'd go crazy.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Sitting around the house. Now, I've sat around the house since the 15th of December. I just went back the last 2-3 days.
Yeah.
And it's been a long, hard winter.
Yes, I'd say. Just not getting out. Yeah.
It isn't a good plan after you've worked all your life. As long as you are able to do anything at all, I don't think it's a good plan to give it up.
Yes, I agree. I think you're quite right.
I don't think it's good for you.
That's good, eh?
Another thing, I have to earn a little extra, because I don't earn much down there because I'm so long. The time I start a boat, till I get it done, that I don't get too much out of it, but of course I ain't paying up no labor.
That's right.
And nothing, and I get what there is in it. But.
And there's good pleasure in it, I suppose.
I work sometimes 3-4 hours a day. Some days I don't work at all.
Yeah.
I don't take any order for the boat
because
I can't be pushed.
Yeah.
I can't do it. And when I get them half or two-thirds done, I advertise them in the fisherman's paper.
Yeah.
And as a rule, as it's been so far, I've had no trouble selling them.
Man comes right along.
Yeah. What it'll be on this one, I don't know.
Well, probably pretty much the same, unless money gets awful tight, but
yes,
looks pretty good, I'd say.
Yeah.
Everybody's building this winter.
Oh,
over
yes,
there.
There's a demand for them.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you one thing has made the demand for them. The government has been putting out loans.
I see.
Everywhere, and people have been having boat built on the strength of it.
Yes, I see. Are these GI type loans?
GI, yes.
Well, that's a good thing. I suppose there was a boom of building there, wasn't there, just after the war?
Yes, there was.
Now, that's what, almost 30 years ago?
Yeah.
25, and it's about time for new boats.
Yeah.
Too. Does it go in waves like that, do you think?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Well, I remember back quite a few years ago that there was no boat being built at all anyway. It was anybody had an order for a boat was lucky.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
back in, well, I'll say in Hoover's administration, everything seemed to, I know I worked on Elk Rogers for $10 or $12 a week. At that time.
Yes. Things are pretty slim.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's hope we don't have another depression.
That's right.
Yes, sir, that would be bad.
I guess quite likely it would.
It would. Well, here, let me put off the machine.
End of interview with Oscar Smith.